Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
All right, so the angle that AEW did last week, split opinions right down the middle, which is totally cool. But now that we've got to the follow-up, I'm just going to tell you, I absolutely love it. Also, hello, my friends, and welcome again to AEW Ups and Downs from my hotel room on the East Coast of America. Things are just going crazy. Why am I still here? But I am still here. But am I still watching wrestling? Yes, I am. I just watch AEW from my damn hotel room. So I'm taking the finger of power. I give the good bits up. And the bad bits are down. But yes, Dynamite did indeed start with Tony Khan saying, hey, I can't be there live tonight because somebody tried to break my neck. But don't worry, we're going to have a great old time. When this feed was interrupted and the Young Bucks were here, they were like, we don't care. They're taking over. And they made it very clear right away, the reason they're now in charge and the reason they didn't get fired is because they are EVPs. They do have ironclad contracts. And if Tone can't make it to the show, well, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, they're going to be pushing the buttons. They even cut to a brand new Dynamite intro, which was just footage of the Elite. I was just clapping. This is the good stuff, because not only is it tongue-in-cheek, not only is it entertaining, but it was also going to feed into the entire show. So I don't even care, man. You can still not like it, and you can still think it's a pile of shit. That is perfectly fine, but I am giving it an up. Just you wait till you see what happens at the end. All this continued as well, because who came to the ring? It was our AEW World Champion, Swerve Strickland. He's been working his ass off the last 7 days because he appeared on all three shows when he was like, well, this is kind of annoying because here I am trying to change the game. And who do we have in charge? A bunch of EVP bitches. He was not happy. He also essentially told the Young Bucks that eventually they will get theirs when he was like, hey, who I'm going to be facing at Double or Nothing, make yourself known right now. And also, wipe your feet on the carpet because you coming into Swerve's house. He does indeed enjoy saying that saying. Matthew and Nicholas Jackson then popped up again. They were like, we're fining you for your potty mouth. When they said, fine, we will reveal who you will be taking on at the pay-per-view. And not only is it a former world champion, but it's Canada's finest. So everyone was like, oh, it's Kenny Omega, but it wasn't. In many ways, it was kind of better because it was the returning Christian Cage. And he picked up where he did leave off because he had a microphone and he pretended he was going to speak when he just smacked Swerve Strickland with this, when, of course, Nick Wayne and Killswitch attacked. That's what they enjoy doing. Christian then dropped Strickland onto the title as well using the kill switch. And I mean the move, not the dinosaur, because that would be a little bit weird. Where Nick Wayne even took out Prince Nana with Wayne's World. And I was like, I shouldn't have done that. That's really mean. Kayton underlined why he was getting this opportunity because he was like, listen, man, I'm not an idiot and I forget I have a brain. And do you know what you did last year? You broke into Nick Wayne's gym and you tried to kill him. So now I too want some revenge. I was like, oh, I love it. It all ties in. He also remembered the fact that he did team with Strickland last year at All In and what happened there, they lost. And while he's been sat there all embarrassed, Swerve had the audacity to go on to become a world champion. So once again, he wants to whip his butt. Tage then went to his usual evil level of things because he was like, I'm going to beat you so badly. Your daughter essentially isn't going to recognize you and she will need a brand new father. And that'll be me, Christian Cage. You know what I did sat in that chair? I laughed. I don't know how he does this, because this is a deplorable thing to come out of somebody's mouth. He has a strange power. Pretty sure Killswitch then ripped a clump of Swerve's hair out, which I thought was particularly brutal. But when I searched my tum-tum, do you know what it told me? Oh my gosh, I so want to see Christian Cage versus Swerve Strickland at Double or Nothing. And while Christian is not going to win, he's just so good at his character. Let's just call a spade and give it an up. We then got a video reminding us of Adam Copeland's feud with the House of Black and that he was about to face one of them. But he wasn't sure who it was going to be. But the TNT title was on the line because he doesn't care. We also had Malakai talking beforehand. And he was all like, oh, Adam, I want to get in your head because he enjoys being spooky wooky. And look, the long and the short of it is the opponent was Buddy Matthews. And as Adam Copeland has said recently, he just wants to go out there in AEW and have banger after banger. And he's totally doing it. Don't you come into my house and tell me he's not all time. And as for Buddy, he is so damn underrated. This was pure fire. Because, I mean, we got Hurricane Ranas, we got dives, and we got Matthews grabbing Adam Copeland and just drilling his head into the mat. And I was like, great, can't believe you've done that. Now Adam is dead. They then quite literally both fell to the ground on the outside and made this horrible thud sound, to the point we even teased it could be a double count out when they got back in the ring and they collided together with a double cross body. And I went into my move book and I was like, yep, they're doing everything. I'm pretty sure Buddy Matthews was then spitting up blood as Aubrey Edwards, the referee, and the doctor checked on him. But as always, it's like, you know what? You can carry on. Which begs the question, in what kind of state does a wrestler have to be in when a match does get called off? I mean, he had red stuff coming out of his mouth. I don't think something good was going on unless he'd secretly eaten tomato ketchup. And he didn't. Adam then showed his dark side too, because he went after Buddy's midsection when he hit him with an avalanche impaler DDT. And I was like, I'm sorry, there's no two ways to talk about this. He's definitely trying to kill him. Of course, Matthews didn't want that to happen to him, so he stopped his spear with these crazy knee strikes. And all of a sudden, he was going for a submission, but instead, Adam Copeland gave him an angle slam or an Olympic slam when he went for another spear and miss. This was proper wrestling tennis. Sadly for Buddy, though, his foot then let him down because he went for the stomp, but he wasn't able to get it. So Adam Copeland did hit him for the spear, and he got the 1-2-3. This was a really terrific match. Adam continued his unhinged ways afterwards, too, because he was going to give Buddy Matthews the concerto. When the lights went out, when they came back on, Malakai Black was there. He was like, yeah, man, I think you should do it. Like, he was crazier than that. He wasn't being all nonchalant. And when Buddy came to, he as well was going, yeah, bro, why don't you hit me? This is Copeland decided that he was going to do this. Of course, they did vanish, but I enjoyed this as well, because now they're trying to get in his head and try and get in mind games. Copeland probably needs to go find a friend or two. So honestly, you've got 15 minutes today. Go and watch this up. When Isaiah Cassidy got murdered by Samoa Joe. I am going to say that Cassidy is so good in this role because he's so damn funny in these matches, but I do hope he gets back together with Private Party soon and we give them a little bit of a push. I still think they have a tremendous amount of potential as a tag team. Isaiah also made a really bad move here because he essentially got Samoa's towel and started to mock him, which is when Joe got him. He just held him across the ring. And as always, Isaiah Cassidy did that scream. Honestly, this is the good stuff when it comes to wrestling. I was chuckling away. Now, Isaiah was able to get a springboard stunner in there after being punched in the face, but you already know the deal. When he went for a dive over the ropes, Samoa Joe just noped him, and poor Cassidy landed right on the floor. Honestly, Samoa Joe must have been doing these nopes for like 20 years, and they never get old. Eventually, Cassidy basically flipped right into the muscle buster, and he lost for the 1-2-3, so this didn't go very long at all. And of course, we did it to heat up Samoa Joe after he lost the world championship. But this was just fun. And once again, I searched my feelings. I was like, holy crap, I'm having such a good time with this Dynamite. And I really was up. We then got reminded that it was going to be Sky Blue versus Willow Nightingale on Rampage, which was coming right after Dynamite today, when out came a sad piece of fruit, because it was Orange Cassidy. He talked about the fact that he had hoped after Trent and Chuck Taylor had fought last week that they would get this out of their system. But actually, when Trent attacked his old partner with a pipe after this, Orange has now been told that Chucky will never wrestle again. And I went through a gambit of emotions here. I was like, is this a work or is this real? And if this is real, at least Chuck Taylor got to say the S word on TV. But also, what the flab is happening? Then they came out on the stage too and was like, oh, there he is, Orange Cassidy, once again, always making things all about himself. And Orange was so mad he tried to get at him when the security stopped him. And that pissed me off. I was like, no, man, let them go. When Chris Statlander was out here too, he was trying to calm everything down. From nowhere, Don Callis walked out as well when he whispered something in Orange's ear, and we never heard what that was, but they then walked off down the tunnel. Chris Statler joined them, as obviously Trent stood out and did the thumbs up thing, because he's a massive dickhead now. So if I was to guess, it would be that Trent and maybe even Chris Statlander are going to join Don Callis, because I think both of these guys are going to join heel. But you can see what we've done here. Clearly someone backstage AEW has gone, listen, we need stories that are essentially cliffhangers, which was essentially what this was. And do I want to find out what the resolution is? You bet your ass I do. And how do I figure that out? First, I have to stand up straight and tune in next week. I genuinely think something has happened here, and I'm giving it an up. Brenna Young was there with the Young Bucks. And they were just like, man, Renee, you're doing a great job. They made me laugh again. They also wanted to know how the family was doing, as well as John, when they realized, you know what? We've had too much TV time today, so you should talk to this guy. And in walked Jack Perry. And he made it very clear what had happened last week was best for business, especially because Tony Khan had made him a scapegoat. But hey, if we are making a bunch of sacrifices, then TK was going to have to make one as well. That was true, he got dropped on his head. He also mentioned that we are now in the era of the elite, so once again, I think we have so much potential here, and given on week one, it was one of the best Dynamites I've seen in ages, well, we are going to have to watch this space.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture.
When we got Chris Jericho versus Shibata for the FTW title. Now, I've mentioned as of late, the whole Chris Jericho stuff hasn't got me, but in terms of this match, it was hard-hitting and it was funny. And also, I was like, how the flub are we getting this in 2024? So yeah, it was just another good match. I also have to talk about the fact that Jericho acting like a man of the people or like he's a mayor candidate by just waving his hand as he comes out has made me laugh. Even more so because Taz on commentary just hates this guy for obvious reasons. It's a fun juxtaposition. That is when we started and we just laid in the chops when eventually Jericho hit the lion salt. But I'm pretty sure he did this so his legs would hit Shibata right in the penis. That's what happened. He hit the testicle. He also allowed Jericho to smash Shibata in the head with a trash can lid, and that freaked me out. When he also had some Winnipeg Jet hockey pucks. I was like, man, what a babyface. He took so long, eventually Shibata just STO'd him into those things. When he also essentially started to no-sell all of Chris Jericho's offense, including when Jericho put a trash can on his head and hit it with a kendo stick. Shibata just stood up and sort of shook it off like Taylor Swift. Once again, I was chuckling away, and I agree with you, I laughed too much. Shibata then also just smashed Jericho right in the head with a kendo stick, which was brutal. But when he ran at him, he also got hit with the code breaker. So once again, they were going back and forth. Somehow Shibata was unable to dodge the Judas effect when he locked in the choke, when what we predicted last week did happen. Look, I'm not going to make a big song and dance about it, because it didn't take a genius. I lied, I'm secretly doing. Because as a table had been set up earlier, out came Big Bill, and he just chokeslammed Shibata through the thing, and of course it is FTW rules, so you're allowed to do that. Which begs the question why he waited so long. And because Chris Jericho is an asshole heel right now, he just climbed over Shibata. 1, 2, 3. So obviously next week it will be confirmed that Bill is now part of the learning tree. And in terms of this match, I may have done a 180 on this, so we are going to have to see what we do in 7 days. But in terms of this evening, it's gigging up. Renee was then with Willow Statlander and Stokely Hathaway. And I tell you, Chris was apologizing way too much for what happened last week. I genuinely think she's about to go bad guy. Nightingale also promised to beat Sky Blue later and beat Mercedes Moné at the pay-per-view. When Stokely started to go, man, people are saying horrible things about me, but I can't complain to Tony Khan anymore because he's not here. So you see what we're doing. We're making sure this Young Bucks thing goes through the entire show. And there's even a clip on the internet when Stokely Hathaway went up to the Elite's dressing room, and where it said the Elite, he put a little piece of paper that underneath said, "Our assholes."
I think he's going to get in trouble.
And the Bucks must have been watching this too, because Paquette then ran out a text message that said, oh yeah, Willow Nightingale does have that match later, and we've made some stipulations, so you know what, Chris and Stokely, you are banned from ringside. And if you ignore this, Nightingale will lose her title. Ruh-roh. So I am totally on board on this, because now these two idiots are just going to upset the entire company. And I wonder what the comeuppance is going to be. And at the moment, I don't know, because it's got to be something big. I'm excited. Brian Cage versus Claudio Castagnoli was next, so you know the deal. Because, of course, Claudio has lost a lot recently, so he needs to get his fire back as well with a big win. And given that Brian Cage is massive, that's a good way to get a big win. Although I will say, it would be nice if we did get some Cage some wins soon too. He loses all the time. They just busted out lariats to begin with, because they are big men slapping man meat, when, of course, Brian did a hurricanrana. But when he tried to leapfrog Claudio, Castagnoli caught him and gave him a backbreaker. And this was my face. He's just so damn strong. Brian also did his suplex from the outside back into the ring, so he's got mad power too. And the uppercut that Claudio gave him after he escaped from the drill claw. I tell you, I thought he was going to break Brian Cage's jaw. They then smashed each other for a while until Claudio realized, oh yeah, I've got a Sagat one of these, which he absolutely clobbered Cage with. And after he'd done the big swing, because you have to give the people what they want, he went right to the sharpshooter and poor Brian had to tap out. So look, I know that AEW does do these random matches all the time, but this is another one that I would recommend. I've sped through it way too fast. They just went totally crazy. Once again, I was just having a good time. I've had a terrific day. But Paquette then decided she was going to do some digging, because she was talking to Rocky Romero and she said, well, Rock, what side are you on? Now, Romero made it very clear that he was on nobody's side, because he doesn't like this argument at all, and therefore he is going to be a singles wrestler. And because he wants to challenge himself, he is going to take on Kyle O'Reilly on Rampage. And I was like, man, it's usually Kyle O'Reilly calling people out. So maybe these two are just gonna fight each other forever. Which is when Serena Deeb took a massive step forward to becoming the AEW Women's Champion, or at least getting a title shot. She was taking on Mariah May, who of course is the protector and friend of one timeless Toni Storm. And these two, they also had their working boots on. They kicked the shit out of each other. They did wrestle to begin with when Serena started doing these submissions. And honestly, on one of these, it looked like she took Mariah's limbs and was just twisting them into positions they shouldn't be. And even I was sitting there going, I don't like this. I want to see no broken bone. Brian then got back into this by just smashing Serena Deeb right in the face when she drop kicked her in the head. And I was like, yeah, that'll do it. Deeb then tried to break her neck with a neck breaker and also hit a German suplex. But when she tried to follow up with the figure four, Mariah May decided she wasn't into that. And she hit the sweet cheek music in the corner, but she only got a 1-2 ooh. She went for the Mayday, but somehow Deeb countered that into a half crab. And that was really good because he just transitioned right into it. This is where things got really interesting. We got more story because timeless Toni Storm on the outside, who has basically gone babyface recently, couldn't handle seeing her buddy in this sort of pain. So she threw in the towel. Now, of course, not only did that give the match to Serena Deeb, but we saw a graphic, and now at Double or Nothing, it's Toni versus Serena. So essentially, Storm made this happen for herself. You also have to imagine that down the line, Mariah May isn't going to like that at all, because I bet she could have got out of this, should she have tried. So not only do we have this match for Double or Nothing, but we probably planted the seeds for something coming out the other side, which will be Toni Storm versus Mariah May, which we've been building for ages. So another round of applause from me. And it is getting up. Renee was then back too, and she wanted to know if Adam Copeland was okay. And he said that he was, but he also took about 72 years to actually have words come out of his mouth. I don't think he's okay at all. This is when Kyle O'Reilly walked in. He was like, oh, hey, bud, I'll be able to help you out with the House of Black whenever you want. But Adam Copeland noticed he was looking at his TNT title, and he was like, eyes up here, boy, otherwise I'll break you. So once again, we are just doing more teasing about what the future could hold. And do I want Adam Copeland versus Kyle O'Reilly? Given what Adam has been doing, you bet your ass. I was so happy after this too, because we got to our main event segment, and Kenny Omega was back on AEW television. I just love it. He got this massive hometown pop as well as he started to talk about his diverticulitis that has kept him out of the ring and essentially told us at one point he was 24 hours away from dying. And this is why we have to stop all this nonsense online. It doesn't matter. This is the important stuff. He also talked about how he missed wrestling so much he couldn't watch it anymore, and that because of his illness, he found that he started to shake. Then after a while, he decided, okay, look, I will put on a pay-per-view where he saw Swerve Strickland made history and he saw Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson have one of the best matches ever when he realized, oh my gosh, these shakes have nothing to do with my disease. It's because I'm having withdrawal symptoms from wrestling because I want to be the best and I've got to come back. I tell you, this was a super-duper amazing emotional promo. Then he also talked about the fact that he felt like a coward and he was terrified of retiring and that he cannot stand that people are talking about the best wrestler in the world and now nobody has mentioned the name Kenny Omega. Well, you know what, Ken, I am. You're the best. Therefore, even if there's only a 1% chance to return, that is what he's going to do. And given that he had been talking about colostomy bags here, because, of course, he's suffering from a stomach issue, he used this to turn it around and said, well, you know, talking of colostomy bags, let's talk about another pair of shitheads, the Young Bucks. That's a really good line. He also used their own rules against them too, because like, listen, you can fire me from the Elite, you do have that power, but I'm also an EVP, so you can think you're going to run around and make all the shots, but you're not, because Kenneth is back. And I'm going to be an EVP too. This then absolutely leveled up because the coin dropped and out came Okada. And I'm not going to lie, my nerd gland kicked in. And they were looking at each other. And I was like, yeah, this rules. Kenny even said, hey man, you're my greatest rival ever back in New Japan. So give me a few months and we can do it in AEW. When Okada just went, nah, bro, because you ain't the best bout machine anymore. I am. I was like, what is he doing? I'll tell you what it was. He was causing a distraction because Jack Perry flew in from behind. And even though Omega fought these guys off for a little bit, that damn jungly Jack then got a chair and he hit Kenny right in the midsection. And I was like, in that earlier promo, he told you he can't suffer any trauma to this area because he could die. And they went and did it anyway. Eventually, the Young Bucks ran out and they were like, listen, we've gone too far, though you knew what they were going to do because they helped up their old friend when they hit him with the EVP trigger, which all things considered had even more meaning. And that's probably why they didn't do it to Tony last week. It was all part of their stupid grand plan. Okada wasn't even going to go for the Rainmaker when finally FTR ran out to make the save. And I was like, where the hell have you been? But once again, I tell you, I think this is great wrestling TV, and I really want to see where it's going to go. Because Rampage was airing right after this too, there was more to this, which I stayed to watch as well, because Kenny Omega eventually got stretchered to the ambulance. When the Elite were back, they got rid of FTR, and they tipped Kenny onto the floor as Matthew Jackson said, it's nothing to do with friendship, boy, it's just business. That's when I looked off into the distance and I thought, you are really, really awful people. So I really do think that AEW is onto something with this, especially because if you wanted, you could totally change the show for a few weeks. So I am going to give it an up. And again, if you're into well put together wrestling angles and you don't often watch AEW, just watch me. Firstly, thank you very much. But also, you should check this out. Like I say, it is getting enough. As is this whole episode of Dynamite, because I love the fact we took this big thing we did last week and we didn't let anybody down and we built the whole damn episode around it to the point I cannot wait to see what we're going to do next week. Now, of course, please do like the video, share the video and subscribe and click the video on the screen, which is ups and downs for Raw when we go through the draft, and leave a comment below telling me how wrong I am. And for those people that keep going, Simon, why are you so quiet these days? It's 12:30 and I'm in a hotel room. I don't want other guests to come yell at me. Like when I go home at my parents' house for Christmas. I don't need that. Goodbye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.